Joining us now, senior producer Steve Prophet here to help share some of your letters.
Madeline, you have such a hard row to hoe. Listener Leah Archibald writes, "Lest anyone worry about NPR becoming too left-leaning, we have Madeline Brandt's discourteous and standoffish interview with Michael Moore."
Discourteous? Standoffish?
It's just one listener's opinion about your discussion with the filmmaker. On the other hand, listener Rob Truax says, well, you read it, Madeline.
Okay. "I was most intrigued," he writes, "by the total approval that was given Michael Moore and his movie Sicko."
So congratulations, Madeline. You've managed to offend Moore's detractors and his supporters. I'd say you're doing your job.
Okay, well, thanks, I think. Is there something that's not about me, please?
No, there's more about you.
Oh.
Several writers were upset that you interviewed Britt Hume, the anchor at Fox News.
We talked to him because his name surfaced in some old CIA documents released last week about intelligence activities during the Nixon administration.
Hume was working for the columnist Jack Anderson then, and the CIA, presumably at the president's direction, was trailing Anderson and all his employees. What was Hume's code name?
How could you forget? Eggnog.
Eggnog. Well, listener David Weinstein didn't like hearing any of this, Madeline.
He writes, "Having that Fox clown on as an objective observer of the Nixon years is another reminder of why we no longer give NPR money."
Well, let's hope he wasn't counting his spare change yesterday when we talked to conservative columnist Robert Novak.
Well, I wasn't here yesterday, so I guess I'm off the hook for this one.
Yeah, you're off the hook on that one. He spoke with Alex Cohen, and he shared his views about Scooter Libby and the decision by President Bush to commute Libby's sentence. During that interview, Novak sought to stress that Libby was not the source he relied on when he published the name of CIA agent Valerie Plame.
This was that famous or infamous Novak column that started the whole controversy. It resulted in Libby's conviction for lying to a grand jury.
Right, this is such a complex story. But anyway, here's something that Robert Novak said in our interview yesterday, and it just made some of our listeners' blood boil.
People get so confused, particularly the kind of people who listen to National Public Radio get confused, that Scooter Libby and I never talked about this.
I can see why our listeners got a little incensed. Diane Gurenin from Intervale, New Hampshire, found this to be only the most irritating part of an altogether infuriating interview.
Here's her note to Mr. Novak. She says, "We're not at all confused by any aspect of this seamy affair." She ends, "Your tone and manner were an insult to anyone listening."
Okay, let's lower the temperature a bit. Here's a letter I liked about all the iPhone stories in the news lately. It's from Paula Pettit, and she's from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Ah, yes, where we recently visited on our series Destination Time Capsule.
Steve, you're back home now. Anyway, Ms. Pettit writes to say she doesn't need a phone that takes pictures, brews coffee, or automatically updates its ringtones from the Billboard Top 10.
"I want a phone," she says, "to make calls, receive calls, and take a message when I don't answer." Paula Pettit, when you find one, please let us know.
And thanks to all of you who wrote to us.
You can do the same. Just go to our website, npr.org.
Click on the Contact Us link. It's at the top of every page. NPR's Steve Prophet, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Madeline. Or should I call you Pim's Cup?